to be in orbit.
Welcome to the second part of our captivating conversation with Sarah Gamm. In part one, we explored Sarah's work on analyzing UAP for the US government, but today we dive into the other side, mediumship. In this episode, we explore the profound experiences that have shaped Sarah's journey, from her first encounters with the spiritual realm to the life-changing moments that have defined her path. We discuss the nuances of mediumship, the difference between psychics and mediums, and the incredible stories that illustrate the power of these connections. So, sit back, open your mind, and join us as we embark on this enlightening journey into the unseen. So we've touched on UFOs, and along the way we've spoken about mediumship and that you're a medium. And so I wanted to just dive into that with you, starting with a real basic question for people. What is mediumship? How would you describe it as a medium?
Yeah, it is a medium connects to loved ones, but not just loved ones like in heaven or on the other side, whatever your preference is to call it. I can connect to what is called spirit guides. So we have a team of people on the other side that look out for our best and highest good and are helpful in different aspects in our lives. And I could connect with them and also connect with angels. So a medium can connect with loved ones and then go beyond that a little bit, but not all mediums. There's a phrase, and I really hope I get it right. All psychics are mediums, but not all mediums are psychics. So psychics predict things. They have more of clairvoyance of knowing and claircognizance of seeing the future. So I could do both. And so the more psychic things are messages that I might get from those spirit guides that'll say, yeah, buy that house, don't buy that one. Or you'll give you suggestions because they do want what's best for your highest good. And so the angels, communication with angels also can be more of a psychic situation where they could help you out on decisions or let you know, yes, you're going to meet this love. You got to be patient. You got to go through the mud first. So mediumship is, and my connection is, maybe different than another mediums and people have, a reading with. I get all my senses. So all your clairs, there's, I think, 5 or 7 clairs. I forget now, like what you might want to include, but hearing, seeing, tasting, smelling, knowing, feeling. So if somebody's loved one passed away from, a heart attack, I will actually feel the heart pain. I have felt like an aneurysm before. I have had, bowel issues from somebody passing away from like IBS. And so I physically feel all of that. And I have those symptoms. It is usually temporary. I guess it's hard to describe a medium because each medium is different and we connect in a different way. And I don't want to disrespect all the other ones that might have a different response to this question.
That's fair enough. And I've dabbled in remote viewing and like a little bit of tarot. And I've also spent time seeing mediums, and everyone has a different technique for doing what they do. And that's why I always ask them, what is it to you? Because I think we're all trying to fit an experience into a box that consists of a word that no one really uses in the same way when they say it, When you say angels and others, how do you tell the difference in that moment?
Question. So not all people can connect to angels easily because it is a very high vibration. So when we as a human, we have to raise our vibration and a loved one has to lower theirs. And so spirit guides are a little bit higher vibration. Angels are even higher than that. So the higher the vibration, they always have to, we have to like meet in the middle. So not all people can communicate with angels easily. I actually can see them. But when I sense them around, there's different indicators. So like going through spiritual training classes, the teacher taught us to help indicate whether it's an angel or a spirit guide or a loved one. So it's a different feeling. I see something different. So they let me know what's coming in a different way. So like if something comes in on my right side, that's a loved one. If something comes in on my left side, it's a spirit guide. If I feel it up here, it's an angel. So that's for feeling it. And so for seeing it, like when I connect to guardian angels, that's different than just another normal angel. So guardian angels to me come forward as like a typical angel looking form, but it's like a little blurry, but there'll be a color associated with it.
Interesting.
And so that's when I know it'll be a guardian angel. So when you're working with spirit, they give you images and data from what you know. So you have an image dictionary that you actually have to build. Like in our training classes, we had to write down like what the color orange meant to us. So when we would see the color orange, they would know how to communicate with
that's them. So interesting. Yeah, it's I spoke to someone who was talking about Dakotan whale language, and this doesn't sound any different. You need to find a common ground so that you can communicate. So there's no point in them just assuming the orange means a certain thing to me.
Exactly. And so they'll show me, so like I grew up being Presbyterian, so like Jesus is going to look different to me than somebody who grew up Catholic, because our image of Jesus in church was different, or Mother Mary. Mary Magdalene, like all those people are going to appear different to me versus, you know, somebody who's Catholic and had that upbringing. So spirit comes to us how we can portray and see them, which I think is really cool, because my whole life has been around, you know, my science-based perspective on things. And then all of a sudden there's rules, but there's also kind of no rules. Things are a little bit fluffy. And they're puzzle pieces, and there's this freedom of my mind that I finally am experiencing and allowing and trusting the universe to come forward. So when I see that guardian angel with a light purple color, that's them letting me know it's a guardian angel and giving me this message. And sometimes that color is usually a favorite color of the person, or it's a color, you know, a favorite color of a grandmother that's passed away. So they also have a connection to this color from the guardian angel.
That's amazing. And it gets me like right in the chest, because, you know, we all have a framework for talking about things, right? And when we speak about UFOs and other experiences like poltergeist or what people call a hitchhiker, what you just said and spoke about is kind of in the same realm, right? Like it's not that different from any experiences. And especially when we talk about being science-minded with it, you know, I forget the guy's name now, but there was a Nobel Prize winner whose idea, he said, came from a glowing raccoon that came to see him in the middle of the night. And it's like, well, what is this if not part of the phenomena? It's really strange, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really cool learning how simple it is too. But then to talk about it. So like when I have, you know, a client and I'm doing a reading, a sunflower means something totally different to me than it does to them. And so instead of giving my interpretation of what a sunflower is, I'll just say sunflower and it'll be completely different. So I have to learn how to trust, how to put that puzzle together with the person that's paid for my services. And because this is about them and not me, right?
It's really neat to connect in a way that gives me healing as well. So it's every, going through the training classes, you learn quickly that whatever client comes to you, you also need healing from them as well. So putting these puzzle pieces together in a way that somehow ends up providing healing for me too is really neat.
That's really interesting. So I've done two ayahuasca ceremonies in South America.
That's
and
cool.
In both ceremonies, I was told that the shaman needed something from me that I didn't know I had as well, that it was that kind of interaction. We were healing each other. And so again, there's another area now, DMT, and people talk about DMT elves and things like that it's kind of the same language and experiences is there too. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of crossover. But how did you first find out that you could do this? What convinced you it was real as well?
That was a terrifying moment. I didn't know what was happening to me, but my whole life, you know, as along with, you know, knowing Mulder's sister is out there, I've also really been a part of the paranormal. I've loved ghost hunting shows. When I was little, I read every R.L. Stein book possible, all of the, you know, nightmare books and ghost story books. So I've always had a flavor for it. And I first saw my ghost when I was in middle school. I think I was like 12, maybe 11 or 12 when I actually saw my first ghost and had my first encounter. And then high school, I think I saw more. And that just progressed over the years. I would see spirits regularly. And then one of my grandmothers I was really close with passed away when I was young. And around the age of 14, she started coming to me in dreams. And I didn't know at the time that was called a vivid dream, but we would communicate telepathically. And I didn't realize it then either that we would sit at, you know, a kitchen table and have a full discussion with each other, but neither one of us would move our mouths. And she would, you know, tell me some things of what was coming and give me a little bit of future prediction type stuff. Again, just kind of didn't think anything of it. I had a near-death experience from a sinus surgery in May of 2012. And after that, I started having more psychic things happen. I did have like out-of-body experience and did the heaven thing, came back, got kicked out, wasn't allowed to stay. But yeah, I had more psychic stuff starting to happen after that. Like I was predicting little things for myself. You know, a crown popped off. That was bizarre because I would feel like a tooth loose in my mouth. And I'm like, all my teeth are fine. Like, what is going on? And then the day that feeling went away, the crown popped off. And the exact feeling I had the days prior was what was happening. Like the tooth was loose in my mouth and I was afraid of swallowing it. And so that started progressing to more and more to where a casual friend ended up, his grandmother came to me in a dream. And we never talked about dead relatives or anything, but I could tell you what she smelled like. She had pearls on. I knew what language she spoke because she wasn't American. And it freaked me the F out. I was terrified. I did not know what was going on. And so I eventually talked to him about it. I got brave enough and he got upset at me. Claimed like, cause you know, I work for the government and he claimed I was researching him. And I'm like, no, dude, first off, that's illegal. And like, this is happening. Like, why are you mad at me right now? And, but everything I described was his grandmother. So after that, I needed help. I was really terrified and didn't know how to control it. I was having, you know, those visitors in my dreams. And then I realized when his grandma came towards me, to me, those people in my dreams was like the sixth sense, like spirit was coming to me and wanting help. And it was like gruesome, some of the things that were coming forward. And so I made an appointment with a psychic medium. I'm smiling because it's such like a collision of my worlds. I got to brief the director of NSA, who was a four-star general at the time. I had a career goal to brief a four-star general and checked that box, left my brief, and then went to my psychic medium appointment.
Yeah, that's a fun afternoon.
Uh-huh. And I, you know, that reading, that hour with her changed my life. She let me know I could do what she's doing and I could be in her seat one day. And it was just, and my best friend, Jimmy, that I've mentioned a few times. So he was there waiting for me. And the stuff she said about like our friendship, no one would know. It was so heart touching and so healing. And the things that she said were just incredible. They were not just healing for me, but healing for my friends and for my family, for other loved ones that came forward. And so I told her, I was like, I'm in. I'm totally in to learn about this. I definitely need to learn how to protect myself. And but I was in grad school at the time. So grad school, I worked full time. And I had no time for sleep. I had no time for learning how to talk to ghosts. So I had to finish grad school. And actually, a month after I was done with grad school, I started spiritual classes.
Wow.
Yeah.
As someone with an art degree, you know, I didn't get into the industry that I wanted to right out of, you know, university. But that's like a 90 degree turn. Like, that's such a...
Yep, got my degree in countering weapons of mass destruction. And a month later, started learning how to talk to, you know, grandma in heaven.
That's really cool. And mm-hmm. and it makes me think of people like Pat Buchanan, you know, the old remote viewers who they were all peace and love on earth, but they had this training that, you know, they could put out, you know, by going through army training and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You've touched on this a little, but I wanted to ask properly, like, do these things come through at your choosing? Like, that seems really intrusive and scary. Like, mm-hmm. the sixth sense, you know, it would just make me jump. But you're used to it now. Like, how did that change?
Yeah, there's like a part of the training in classes, you learn boundaries. So I call it spirit as a whole. So that's like the term I use for like ghosts and loved ones and guides and stuff. So there are boundaries and there are certain things that you do to indicate you're open to them communicating with you. So I call it on the clock and off the clock. And so I'm usually off the clock, but every once in a while they'll break through and something will come forward, or that little intuition feeling you kind of feel in your gut, like around your sternum area. And so mm-hmm. then I'm like, oh, okay, they're wanting to show me something. Or like when I'm talking with a friend and the conversation we're having is like red warning signs, like, no, don't do that. So then I'll let my friend know, like, you shouldn't actually do that, because I'm getting this warning sign to like go a different way. So now, no, I usually don't get any barrier breaks type thing. But like when I was going through the training classes, they were really intense and very difficult and very testing of everything in your life, because spirit will take you through it, because you're going to get through it, but it's not going to be easy. So there would be days I'm working at, you know, doing my nuclear analysis at ODNI and having a rough day dealing with, you know, a congressional tasker, and I have a reading I have to like drive in traffic and get home to that night. And I'll get home 5 minutes before the reading would start. And so I'm rushed and but during the day, I'll start getting precursors for a loved one coming through. So that was like one time, I still remember, I was in the bathroom stall and I blacked out. I knew that it wasn't me. So at this point, I know if it's spirit or if it's my own body or if it's somebody else's emotions I'm feeling. But so I knew I was still in my own body. So it wasn't me and it was spirit and it was something that was for the reading that night. But I was in the bathroom stall, just flushed the toilet, was going to unlock, and everything went black. And I put my hands out immediately because I felt my knees were going to buckle. And when I blinked again, I was back, and I said aneurysm out loud. And that night, the loved one that came through passed away from an aneurysm.
No way.
So that's the stuff that would break through in the barriers, is things that are precursors for that night. Or if I'm doing a house clearing and there's a bad entity that's in the house that doesn't want to go, they'll start doing stuff to me beforehand to get me to prevent from going to the house. So I've had some pretty crazy stuff happen for that too. For the most part, I think my boundaries are pretty good.
That's really awesome. And yeah, on the topic of boundaries, you've mentioned protecting yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So it's clear to me from what you've said that this is like a trainable thing, right? This, you can learn it if you want to. If you're interested in this, you can go and take classes and or explore it in your own way, you know? But how would you protect yourself? You know, I know about sage in a space and things like that, but is there anything more I could do?
Super good. I love saging. I love Palo Santo. That makes me so happy. I'm a tree hugger and I love nature and trees. So Palo Santo does like different, brings out different happiness in me and it clears the space. There are many ways that you could protect yourself, but the super simple basic one that I love is a bubble. We have the universe inside of us, and no matter what I'll say religion you believe in, I'm going to use the word God, but if it's Gaia, if it's whoever that you might believe in, that light is inside of each one of us. And so I imagine this bubble of light that comes from my heart and it encircles me, and it's a different color sometimes. It's not always the same color, but it is a bubble of protection. And I imagine it over like my house and the property, over my pets. You could do it over your car. You could project a bubble on your loved ones as well. So it's super simple because this light comes from within us and we are already divine co-creator beings. So this bubble is our own protection from ourselves. And another one is to ask Archangel Michael for protection. He is, God's protector. He is protector of many people, first responders. And so I think they, one of my brothers is a cop and he calls it Saint Michael. So he is a big protector. And so I ask him for protection as well. So I'll say whatever comes to mind. So there are no rules, which is really great. So whatever comes to mind is the right thing because it's the intention. It's the intention to kick something out or the intention to protect yourself. So that's the biggest thing in the spiritual world is the intentions. We have our physical bodies and they don't. So they have to listen to us. So something I'll say is, Archangel Michael, please protect me while I'm making something up in court. So like, please protect me while I'm going through this court case and don't let any harm come to me. Protect my energy. Let only love and light come through and let none of the other negative energy from anybody else I might encounter today come in. You could do that for, sleeping at night. So asking Archangel Michael for protection while you're sleeping, let nothing harm me while I'm sleeping. I don't want anything but love and light to reside here. Everything else is not welcome. And there goes the bad things that come in, or not the bad things, but maybe the ghosts that are looking to cross over, the things that would come to me while I would be sleeping at night, those no longer happen.
Your answers are so interesting, Sarah. They are building on people that I've spoken to that you've never met, talking about intention. You know, when it comes to summoning UFOs, summoning anything in your life, it's about manifesting intention, right? And kind of holding that. But also, bubble work really hits home for me because when I was a kid, when I was like 3, 4, 5, and I would get scared because I just watched an episode of The X-Files, even though I wasn't allowed to because I was too young and I got terrified and I did it anyway, I would imagine a bubble of light around myself that would protect me. And that would extend also, if I was worried about anyone in my life, I would extend it to them as well. And I would always picture it kind of reaching through the earth and, just being a natural property of things. So that's really interesting that you said that.
And you could bring the light from earth. So that's the earth star chakra that you bring in. So some of the meditations I lead, I will start with bringing in that earth star chakra. So it not only grounds you, but it protects you.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. We'll get into it when we meet for coffee, no doubt. Yes. But there's a whole journey of mine where a medium also said to me, you should be doing this. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a personal journey for me. So I'll be picking your brain about that for advice. Because it sounds like you've gone through the same thing. So yes, help, please. Do you find the more you dive into stuff like this, be it UFOs, spirit, whatever, the more it kind of finds you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, for sure.
Kind of like when you look into the abyss stares back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something my spiritual teacher, her name's Celeste, something Celeste always said to us, the clients or the people that come to you for help will resonate with you somehow. They were drawn to you for a reason. Experiences I've had in life, being in a toxic, abusive relationship type situation, or, just various things of, a career, whatever. Those are who my clients are. Somebody that's been in a similar relationship that might not only need spiritual guidance, but just a personal, you're not alone situation to let somebody know that somebody else has been through that and I made it through and here's how I did it. So it's not just spiritual advice. It's just being a human and caring. So the abyss definitely stares back, and how cool is that? Creepy, but cool.
Very creepy, very cool. It keeps you on your toes, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to play devil's advocate now and just give voice to the people who are hearing you and I talk about this like it's real, because yeah, we've both had our own experiences. Like
total wacko.
they would just say that this is BS, right? And I've always thought maybe it's not for them now. You know, if they need it, they'll find it and so on and so forth. But what would you say to someone who was challenged by this? Would you even want to say anything to them?
Yeah, I don't expect people to believe all of this. I don't want them to. We need skeptics, and it's everybody's on their own journey. Just like when I was going through my spiritual classes, I was with a guy and he was starting to try to learn some of what I was doing. And I said, no, just because this is my journey doesn't mean it's yours. I don't want you to drink this Kool-Aid just because it's what I'm doing. And he appreciated that so much, and it made him feel so much better about it. And so he eased in at his own time and his own pace instead of jumping in the deep end and just believing. So I don't want you all to believe it. I want everybody to be on their own journey. But if there's one person out there that this resonated with, to know that they're not alone, this is for you.
I love that. I'm going to take a little detour now, because we touched on Egypt already with your awesome orb sighting there.
Yeah.
But do you think the ancient civilizations have anything to teach us about the phenomena or our world or how we are with each other?
For sure. Absolutely. One thing that was very common after visiting every temple, every site, every pyramid, something I said every single time was, we know nothing. We know nothing about our own, human history. We know nothing about Earth history. There were hieroglyphs, plain as day, of giants levitating blocks and building the pyramids and building the temples. There were hieroglyphs of lizard people, fish people, ape people, Sekhmet, cat person. How did we lose all of that? I know we've, on Earth, we've had a handful of reboots? I forget now, four? Something, five? We've had a few reboots, reboot meaning like the meteorite destroying the, the dinosaurs, killing off everything. So sure. We've had a handful of reboots. If we tap into figure out other civilizations and their knowledge, and even the Incas and so many other places on Earth that are also located at very energetic spots as well. Like so many places in Egypt that we visited, you could feel the energy, I call it the muggles. So the people that aren't, spiritually sensitive, even the muggles in the group would be like, wow, this place feels amazing. Like my heart feels healed. And it would end up being a healing center. So most pyramids and temples were healing places. And how'd we forget all that?
I also use muggles to describe people that are outside of the UFO and spirit community. Anyone that's not into this, I'm like, you're a muggle. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Can't use your hand with you. I love that. So here's we have some big questions for you now. So if you could influence the world, if you could change one thing overnight, what would you change?
Folks to be a little bit more kind. I would hope I would hope for kindness to start prevailing a little bit more.
I like that. Simple. And mm-hmm. and it's something that people can do right now. The next person you encounter after listening to this conversation, if you're having a bad day, just bite your tongue a little bit and show kindness instead.
Keep scrolling. Keep scrolling, or just there are so many ways to be kind. Every single person you see is going through something. You know, me internally go, you know, I've had a rough week last week, and you know, each one of us are going through something. This human experience in this earth school is not easy. So, you know, be kind. The world doesn't need your negative comment, or, you know, a death threat, or a suggestion. Like, I've even gotten messages suggesting I should off myself. Like, keep scrolling.
Yeah. Yeah. Please never listen to those, Sarah. The world would be worse well, off no, without you.
Thank you. Definitely not happening. Y'all got to put up with me a little bit longer.
So that kind of thing is an example of the chaos just going on in the world right now. It's a mess. There is some positivity, but obviously you look mm-hmm. at the news, everything feels heavy, claustrophobic, and like it's going nowhere positive fast. And so, you know, we could argue the mental health of the planet is probably an all-time low, more connected than ever, and it's all bad news all the time. So what do you do to find peace?
I go out in nature. That's my sanctuary.
Lots of hiking?
I do. Well, not right now in the heat wave and the humidity.
Sure.
But yeah, I go out in nature, and I, you know, it's unbelievable what happens when you sit still and there aren't many bugs. But when you sit still and you let the trees talk to you, and then, you know, I sometimes will tell the trees what's going on and complain about something, and it's pretty cool how much better you feel. Or if you go to hug a tree, sometimes I'll even like hug a tree and I'll just put my forehead on it and I'll take a few deep breaths in and slow exhale. You feel different. It's so cool how, you know, I grew up a farmer. So I grew up doing that kind of stuff and having my hands in the dirt all the time. And now I realize how important that was in my childhood, because I've always been this optimistic, bubbly, sparkly person, and how important it was to have that nature around me to ground me, because I have always kept my parents and my family on their toes.
Well, definitely after recording this, we are going to meet up and we're going to go for a hike, and you're going to show me your favorite spots.
I was so upset we couldn't meet up a few weeks ago. So yes, we are overdue. And absolutely. Congratulations too are in order in person.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, you met Elena before in London. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a nice hike in the US. And yes. You can show us your favorite trees. And I can attest to that as well, by the way. You know, as I was traveling through Mexico and South America and North America, always putting my feet in the sand, putting my feet in the dirt, putting my feet on the rocks, putting my feet in the snow in Vermont, like all of it just made me feel so much better and so much more connected. And I don't know truly if there's definitely anything spiritual to it, but it makes me feel better. Yeah. And so I take the time to do it, right?
Well, you could think of it from the scientific perspective then, instead of a spiritual, that connecting is actually grounding. So there's the studies that have been done connecting the gadget, I can't think of it, like an ohmmeter type thing. That's okay. I think that's the wrong word, but in my mind, which I can't project telepathically to you apparently, but it connects like nature and you. So once like a human would step off of their, you know, rubber-soled shoes onto the ground, the meter, you know, goes to zero because you're grounding. So it's actually scientifically proven that connecting to the ground with your bare feet is truly helpful.
Oh, that's really interesting. So it's mm-hmm. like the resistance between you and the ground kind
exactly.
of is overcome, and it
yep.
flows. Whatever
yep.
it is, it flows. Yep. Interesting.
And even when we were in the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid of Giza on the Giza Plateau So we actually took off our socks and shoes and were in there barefoot as well on the red granite. That was so super cool.
That sounds amazing. Hopefully one day I have the pleasure of Egypt. It is ahead of me, though.
Bring snacks. The food wasn't the best.
Also, I guess there aren't any like confectionery stands inside the pyramid. So if I get a little hungry in there, I should have a snack.
I am food driven, so I'm glad I had a backpack of snacks with me all the time.
And if you got lost inside the pyramid, you're the one that can lay out the M&Ms to find your way back.
Oh, totally.
Out again,
yeah.
Right. So
yeah. Well, this loud, you know, the hiccups and everything. I ain't getting lost anywhere.
Okay. Well, very last question. Thank you so much for giving me so much of your time, Sarah. It's been amazing. And I'll have you back anytime. Can't wait to go for a walk with you. And thank you for just being a friend.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
So it was so wonderful meeting you and Elena as well, by the way. I just want to say that. Like, it was a highlight of the trip that day, everybody getting together and meeting all the other folks as well.
Yeah, that's such a diverse background to everyone as well. You know, like we always find in this community, right? Just people come from everywhere. There's not just a typical UFO buff, you know,
sorts. No dry shites were there that day.
Okay, so this one is about coming together, and it's kind of inspired by the idea you touched on that, you know, the spiritual and the nuts and bolts, everything kind of coming together. It makes us reflect. You know, it makes us, as we go down the path through mediumship or looking at UFOs or even philosophy, we start looking in a mirror and thinking about, well, what does this mean for me? Who am I? Why am I here? You know, and the more I look up to the night sky and look at the stars out there and see all these exoplanets we're finding whilst we're talking about UFOs, I'm always thinking, you know, who are we going to be when they land? Like, what thought are we going to put forward? Mm-hmm. And so it kind of distills down to this one question that I wanted to ask you. And feel free to take it in whichever way that you want. But what do you think it means to be human?
Finite. I think it means we're here to learn and to grow. But it is finite. Our souls are eternal. And this skin suit is not. I think it's beautiful and it's hard to be human. I think it's being grateful to wake up breathing, because I have, you know, my near-death experience. I stopped breathing, then my heart stopped, and a lot of problems ensued after that. So some days I'm grateful to wake up and to have air going into my lungs. I think it's human to have... It's beautiful to be human, to have such different perspectives, because everybody else is on their own journey. Being a human means so many different things, but it's finite.
That was a beautiful answer, Sarah. Thank you so much for giving me your time and for answering all of these thousands of questions I had for you. And in case anybody wants it, we're going to make sure we include the link in the description for that beautiful cat poster behind Sarah there, the cat puzzle, so you can make it. But Sarah does say that the fur on the UFO and the cat is similar in shade, so you might have some trouble.
Fur or ship was a very common question with my coworkers for assembling it.
Next time I see something strange in the night sky, that's the question I'm going to ask out loud. Fur or ship?
That's fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. I am so glad our paths crossed, and can't wait to go on a hike with you one day, Annalena.
Very soon, no doubt.
As we conclude part two of our conversation with Sarah Gamm, we hope you've gained a deeper understanding of the unseen forces that surround us, be it governmental or spiritual. Whether it's the guidance from spirit guides or the comforting presence of what some call angels, Sarah's journey reminds us of the potential for deeper connections beyond the physical world. Let's carry forward the idea that there is more to our existence than meets the eye, and consider the possibilities that exist beyond the reality that we already know. Let's embrace the extraordinary. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Spotify or on your chosen platform. If you could like, share, or subscribe, that would be very much appreciated. It helps us find our tribe. If you'd like to support the show and get access to a 1-hour live chat each month and early ad-free access, you can find us at Patreon. Just follow the link in the show notes or at our website, tobehumanshow.com. And feel free to reach out via the contact page or email at hello@tobehumanshow.com. You can also find us on Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, or X at tobehumanshow. As always, remember to be curious. The universe is bigger than we know.
What It Means to Be Human is a Double Barrel production. This week's episode was produced by Roz Mugford and Dan Zetterstrom. Sound post-production by Parker Mosley, with technical support from Dale Mugford. Our theme music is by Thunderbird.